And we're going to read a few verses over there out of 1 Chronicles chapter number 7. Seems like there has been so much going on this summer. I don't know sometimes if I'm coming or going. And still a lot to go on. And so we desire your prayers. Lots of things going on. But we're going to try to preach this morning out of 1 Chronicles chapter 7. And we desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would help us. We're going to read to begin with verses 4 down through verse number 5. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's page 464. Page 464. All right, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Some of these names I may not get exactly right, but I'll make a good stab at it. It said, "Now the sons of Issachar were Tola and Pua, Jashub and Shimron, four. And the sons of Tola, Uzai and Rephaiah and Jeriel and Jamai and Jibsam and Shemuel, heads of their father's house, to wit, of Tola. They were valiant men of might in their generations, whose number was in the days of David 22,600. And the sons of Uzai, Izrahiah, and the sons of Izrahiah, Michael, and Obadiah, and Joel, Ishiah 5, all of them chief men. And with them, by their generations, after the house of their fathers, were bands of soldiers for war, 36,000 men. For they had many wives and sons. And their brethren among all the families of Issachar were valiant men of might, reckoned in all by their genealogies 87,000. Let's pray. Lord, I just come today and I want to thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I want to thank you, Lord, for answered prayer this past week, the good music camp that's been going on and keeping everybody safe as they were at camp and then coming back home. And we pray as they go back, Lord, that you would just bless and help there as only you can. And we're thankful to be here this morning. We're thankful for the many visitors that are here today. And Lord, we know that none of us are here today by accident. But Lord, you've allowed us to come to this place at this time, and we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you'd take the Word of God and use it to speak to our hearts. And I pray that there would be great liberty, Lord, this morning to help in the preaching of thy Word. I pray the Spirit of God would just make it real unto our hearts and our lives. And Lord, we need your help. I pray and I ask for it. And I ask these things today in Jesus' name and amen. All right, we're going to go back and read a couple of these verses again. Verse number 4. And then we're going to skip down and read verse number 11 just to get started today. And the Bible said again in verse number 4, "And with them, by their generations, after the house of their fathers, were bands of soldiers for war, 36,000 men, for they had many wives and sons." And then go down to verse number 11, look what the Bible says. "All these sons of Jediel, by the heads of their fathers, mighty men of valor, were 17,200 soldiers fit to go out for war and battle." And so we're going to look at these verses today. And if you are familiar with the book of 1 Chronicles, if you've ever read your Bible through in a year, you come to the book of 1 Chronicles and you sort of begin an uphill climb. And what I mean by that, there's 9 chapters, and all it is, the first 9 chapters, are lists of genealogies. And so you have men that are mentioned, fathers, their sons, and these names that are a lot of times hard to pronounce, and a lot of them you've never heard of before and you don't know anything about them. So that's what I mean. You come to a uphill climb and you try to make your way through all of these names, these lists of names, but tucked in these 9 chapters, there's a few nuggets here and there. There's a few things that we find here and there along the way that will make you say, "Boy, I'd never seen that before, never noticed that before." And right here in the midst of these nine chapters, of these long lists of names and genealogies, we find what the Bible talks about, the sons of Issachar in verse number 1. And it also talks about in verse number 6, the sons of Benjamin. And what we find among the sons of Issachar and the sons of Benjamin, you have the first and also the second mention of the word soldiers. Soldiers are mentioned the first time in the Bible in verse number 4, where it talks about there were bands of soldiers for war. And then the second time the word soldiers is mentioned is in verse number 11, where it talks about soldiers fit to go out for war and battle. And I want to preach this morning again on the subject of a soldier's life. Now, I've already preached two messages on a soldier's life, part one, part two. And today, this is a different passage of Scripture. We're going to preach part three, talking about a soldier's life. But I've been preaching out of the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and mainly verses 3 and 4. Verse number 3 of 2 Timothy chapter number 2, the Bible says over there, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And talking about, I've been preaching about what the Bible says about us being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And the Bible has a great deal to say about soldiers. Now, the main point that I want to try to bring out today concerning a soldier's life is that a soldier's life is a social life. Now, when I say a social life, probably in our day and time, the first thing we would think about maybe we hear all the time about social media. Now, I'm not talking about that kind of social life. You know, somebody might say, "Well, I'm on Facebook and I have 987 friends." I've got news for you. If you think all them people are your friends, you're going to be sadly mistaken. Nobody will come down the road in 10 years and say, "You know, I remember when your dad died on Facebook and I liked that." Hit the like button or whatever that is. Social media is actually probably one of the most unsociable things in the whole wide world, because a lot of people think they have friends that they really don't have, and a lot of people think they're concerned about things that nobody really cares about. So we're not talking about that type of social or society, but I'm talking about what we would think about the word originally meaning when we're talking about a social life or a society of people. The definition means this: pertaining to society, relating to men living in society. We're talking about people living, working together. That's what we're talking about when we're saying that a soldier's life is a social life. And as we come here to verse number 4 and we begin to read about the sons of Issachar, and they were different than all the others, the Bible says, "And with them, by their generations, after the house of their fathers, were bands of soldiers for war, 36,000 men, for they had many wives and sons." Now, in all these men that are mentioned in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapters 1 all the way through chapter number 9, in all of these men and all of their families, just a very few in the big picture of all the hundreds of thousands of them that they were, just a few of them are segregated out and named or labeled as soldiers. Doesn't say that in the first 6 chapters talking about any of the other tribes. It doesn't say that in the rest of the chapters talking about any of the rest of them. But the sons of Issachar, and in a little bit the sons of Benjamin, they are labeled as soldiers. Now, let me point this out. They are all of the same nation. It's talking about the men of the nation of Israel. They're all the same nation. They are all the same religion. They all believe in the same God. They all worship the same God. They all follow the same scriptures. They are all of the same race. We're not talking about a diverse group of people here. We're talking about the same nation, all their fathers, all the heads of the tribes. But these men are designated, they're the same, but yet they are different. They're designated as soldiers. These were a group of men that were set out and set apart to be the soldiers, to be the defenders of their society. They lived together. They worked together. They exist together, socially together as soldiers. They have a designated purpose that the rest of them do not have. So that's what I mean. They're the same, but yet they're different than all the others. And so they're designated in the Bible as soldiers. And let me say this morning that the same thing could be said of us that are saved by the grace of God today. You know, when we look out in the world, we're the same as everybody else. I mean, there's nothing special about us. There's nothing different about us except that we're saved by the grace of God. If you're saved by the grace of God, yes, you're the same as everybody else, but you're different in that you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been given the gift of eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've been chosen out to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we're the same. We're not better than anybody else. We're not really different than anybody else. But the Lord Jesus Christ has made all the difference in our lives. And yet we are different. The same but different. Just like we read about here in the Bible. What, as I begin to study about this and think about this. And I've been thinking about it several weeks now. I begin to study about these men and soldiers in the Bible. What is it that made them different? What is it that makes us different today? There's a few little keys that I want to try to point out this morning from this passage of Scripture. Number one, I want to say this. A soldier's life is a banded life. Now look at verse number 4. I'd never noticed this before, but it refers to these men and with them by their generations after the house of their fathers were bands of soldiers. You ought to underline that in your Bible. That's a very interesting word. What does that mean, preacher? Bands of soldiers. A band is a very interesting word. A band is a military word also. And it would be common even today to hear about a band of soldiers. Where'd that come from? The Bible. There's a lot of things come from the Bible that if only people knew. But a band of soldiers comes from the Bible. And the first time soldiers are mentioned in the Bible, they're mentioned as bands of soldiers. And a band means this. A band means to bind. It means to be bound together, like our word bandage. When you bandage something up, you tie it up. You make it come together. That's what a bandage does. And that's where the word band comes from. It means to be confined together. It is a means of union or connection. It means to be united in a common design or purpose, or under one flag as a band of soldiers, to unite in a troop. It's a military word. And so the Bible refers to these men here as bands of soldiers. And I want to say this morning that there's no bond that is quite as strong as soldiers share. Or sometimes even veterans share together. There's a common bond among them. And it's a very interesting thing. I've thought about this a lot of times. My grandfather Greer, he fought in World War II. And he was in the CC camps, and then he was in the army, and he was overseas. And so he spent a few short years of his life in the army. But those few short years in his life, it colored and flavored the rest of his life. If when he was an old man, if you'd have went down and visited him and spent time and sat down on his porch, it wouldn't take him long to start telling you about something that had happened in the army. And he would begin to tell you about people that you'd never heard of, you'd never seen a picture of, but he knew their names, he knew where they were from. He would tell a story and he'd say, there's an old boy and he's from Statesville. And there's somebody else and they're from here and they're from there. And look what a short period. I'm talking about 4 or 6 years of his life. Very short period of time in a man that's 80, 85 years old. But you'd have thought that he'd have spent 40 years. You'd have thought that he'd have spent the majority of his life. That little bit of time, it bonded him like nothing else that had ever happened to him in his life. It wasn't like where he spent all the years that he worked. It wasn't like his farming life. It wasn't like anything else. That so influenced him that it changed him for the rest of his life. That band of soldiers that he served with, and that is not uncommon today, an uncommon testimony among men that have served together in the military. There's just a bond that is created there. There's bands of soldiers in the Bible, but I begin to think about that. What is it that makes that short period of time sometimes such special? What's the big deal about it? What bands them all together? That you would look at soldiers and call them bands of soldiers. Let me give you just a few things quickly this morning. Bands of soldiers have a common allegiance. They've all pledged an allegiance. They've all sworn. They've all signed on the dotted line under a common cause. Duty, honor, country, flag, patriotism. When you go in the military, you find that it's not Democrat and Republican. It is my service to this country, and I am to obey what I'm told to do. They have a common allegiance, unlike other people in the world. They have a common allegiance. They have a common experience. They've gone through many of the same things together. When they get out of the military, they have a common history. You ever seen these? And I know that you have some of these men, and they will have the blue hat, and it's got the insignia, or it's got the company, it's got where they, you know, World War II veteran, Korean veteran, and boy, I'm telling you, they have something in common together that other people do not have. I'm going to relate this to the Christian life, but you think about it. They have a common allegiance. They have a common experience. They have a common history together. They have a common enemy that they have fought against or tried to keep at bay while they serve. They have all these experiences together. In preaching before, everything I've preached, I've used a word that starts with the letter S. We could say they've sworn in together, they've suffered together, they've schooled together, they've served together, they've done all these things together. Do you know when you suffer along with somebody, it strengthens your ties. If you've gone through something with somebody, you've schooled together, you've served together, you've shaved together, you've showered together, you've done all these things together, it strengthens your bonds together. You've had victories together, you've had defeats together, you've made mistakes together, that brings you together. You know how not to do it next time. Boy, I remember one time when I was in basic training and they came in. These boys came in that I was in that they were the same as me, and they came in and they were all excited, and they said we need to shave our heads. Now, they shave your head when you go in, but you're not completely bald. You have a little peach fuzz left all the way around. But they came in and they said we need to shave our heads. And some of us argued about it. What are you talking about? They said, yeah, they said we need to shave our heads bald, slick. And so some of them boys jumped into the bathroom and they got them little 15-cent Bic shavers. And they put shaving cream all over their heads. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's an art to that. And some of them boys looked like they'd fell headlong into a barbed wire fence. And there was blood and tissue stuck to their head, some of them. And some of us were standing there saying, I don't think that's right. I don't think that. Who said to do that? And here come the drill sergeants in. Boy, you talk about getting on to them. What do you big dummies think you're doing? Man, they begin to berate them, and they got to that. They said, whose idea was this? And all they could say is, they said to do this. And I remember getting a big long speech about how they will get you in trouble. Nobody had said it. I still don't know to this day. And I wasn't one. I didn't believe them. I wasn't doing it. I might have been in line to get ready to, but I didn't do that. But I remember they said, they will get you in trouble. Never listen to they. If you don't know exactly who said to do something, you better not do it. You better make sure, or you end up looking like a fool with your head cut all to pieces. See, you go through experiences together. You go through things together. You make mistakes together. You go through battles together. You go through all these things together. And you, in doing all those things, those things bond people together. So they have all these things, and it's the same commonalities in the Christian life. We have a common allegiance, do we not, as we come this morning and we think about the Word of God and we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we come to church, and we never come to church that we don't see. We have an American flag, but you know what? We also have a Christian flag. And I'd say most this morning would believe what Peter said when they said you not to preach in his name any longer or do these works. And Peter said in Acts chapter 4, he said, but we ought to obey God rather than men. Our allegiance this morning stops where it contradicts flatly the Word of God. And I have to say today that our allegiance first and foremost ought to be to God. It ought to be to His Word. We have a common allegiance that has brought us together under the Word of God. We have a common Savior in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's one way to heaven, and it's by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you can stand today and say, I'm saved by the grace of God, do you know that's common among all of us? The book of Jude, one short chapter. Jude said, I wanted to write about something else, but it was needful for me to write unto you the common salvation. That doesn't mean that it's common, it's not worth anything. It's common like something you buy at Walmart, but it's common among all of us. That we're all going to heaven by the same way, by the same Savior. We have a common allegiance in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His Word, and we have common experiences as the children of God. Many of us have gone through the same types of things in our lives. We have a common history. We have a common enemy. Do you mean we have enemies? You better believe. We have one that walks about seeking whom he may destroy. That's what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 5, and you don't have to turn over there. Let me just read this to you. I found this several years ago, and something that I had never really noticed before. But you know verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's our common enemy, the devil, Satan. He's trying to destroy and wreck all of us. But the Bible says in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Oh, you said, I thought I was the only one going through this experience in my life. No, you're not. Amen. Not at all. In fact, nobody goes through something that somebody else has not been through. The same afflictions, Peter said, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know what? We've got something in common. We're all fighting the same enemy. We're all fighting the same temptations sometimes. Some maybe more than other on one thing. Something that tempts you may not tempt me. But there's something that tempts me that may not tempt you, but we've all got that in common. These same afflictions, that comforts me. That binds us together as God's people. And you can talk to somebody and you say, hey, brother, hey, sister, I just want to share this with you. I'm going through something and I need some help. And I'll tell you, there's somebody that can say, I know what you're talking about. I've been there myself. I've had these same experiences. You see, that binds us together. That bands us together as God's people. We have a common history. We have common enemy. We have all these things in our life. And those things binds us together. I was thinking about studying for this message, and I began to think about all the churches. Now, military people, they say this, well, I was in Texas, I was in England, I was in South Carolina, and I finished up in North Carolina. It's all these different places that they served. And everywhere they served, they were banded together with people that they probably didn't even know before. And I thought about it, it's the same way in my Christian life. I think about the church that I grew up in. Well, I thank God for that. There is a bond there. I can still go back, and the people that were there when I were there, mainly the older people, and I remember some of them, and I'd go up as a little kid, and some of them, they'd give me a quarter. Man, it's just stuff like that. I remember going to Vacation Bible School. I remember marching in to Onward Christian Soldier. All the things growing up in church, I wouldn't take anything for that. I think about being in England. A young man invited me to the Faith Baptist Church in Bromswell, Suffolk, England. And those were military people. We were all in the same boat together. And for those 3 years that we were there, we were as close as any family could be. We spent our holidays together, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and went on trips together and all of those things. That's where my wife got saved. That's where God called me to preach. That's where my first real pastor, I mean, I had pastors growing up, but the one that I sat down and listened to and grew under, Pastor Isle. I got a Bible education sitting under Pastor Isle and just preaching and teaching the Word of God. Wouldn't take anything for that. I think about the first church I pastored. I think about pastoring the Faith Baptist Church out in Idaho. And the experiences we had there. And then as we've been here, each place, different people, different memories, different battles, different struggles and trials and all of these things. And I look back on my life, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Those people are precious and dear to our hearts, and oh, what memories flood our soul and through the good times and the bad times and all of those times. Isn't that a blessing? The Christian life is as much like a soldier's life as you can get without being a soldier. You may say, I don't know anything about that. I wasn't in. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you're in. You're involved in the Christian life, the good things, the ups, the downs. I think about this when the Apostle Paul, when he mentioned in Romans chapter number 16, he's got this great letter that he's written to the Romans, and it's doctrinal and it's practical. And the whole last chapter, you know what he spends time? He says, salute the brethren. That's a military thing. He said, salute, and he starts going down the list of all these people that you and I have probably never heard of and we don't know anything about, but to Paul, they were very dear, and over again, he says, salute this brother. There's a church in his house, and salute my fella labor over here, and be sure and tell them hello. These are people that I've served with. These are people that have helped me get the gospel out, and there was a bond there. It's a bonded, it's a banded life. Paul uses the phrase over in the book of Philemon, chapter number 2. There's a man over there. His name is Archippus, and he called Archippus, he said, our fellow soldier. See, Paul was never in the military that we know of or saw. But when he thought about these people that he had served the Lord with, he referred to him. He said, he's a fellow soldier. We've been to battle together. We've been through things together. It is a banded life. Let me quickly move on down. Look back here. We're going to look at our verses again. Not only is it a banded life, it is a brotherly life. A brotherly life. If you look at verses 1 through 4, and I've already read that, I'm not going to read those verses again. But if you just look at verse number 1, it said, "Now the sons of Issachar." And it goes on down and it begins to mention all his sons and his sons' sons. And what we find is this is a whole family that were soldiers. And they were brothers. They were real brothers. They were blood brothers. And it talks about, if you've read it, if you were to read it closely, that they were chief men, that they were valiant men of might in their generations. These men were brothers together. People that are banded together in close ties will always eventually refer to each other as family. Soldiers do that all the time when they talk about people that they would go into battle with or people that they're serving with. And they'll talk about, if somebody dies, they'll talk about our fallen brother. Law enforcement does that. Fire departments do that. People that have been through things together, they'll begin to refer to each other as my brother. It is a brotherly life. And this soldier life that we're talking about, that we're preaching about this morning, it is a brotherly life. It's common terminology among soldiers to call each other brother. It's very common to talk about my church family, is it not? And more often than not, when we meet together and greet one another, we will greet one another as brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. If I call somebody on the phone, most of the time, I'll say, "Hello, it's Brother Wynn." I'm not saying that because I'm trying to be spiritual, but that to me is just as natural. I don't even think anything about that because if you're saved by the grace of God and I'm saved by the grace of God, you're my brother, you're my sister. And so it's a brotherly life. In Acts chapter number 9, I was studying over there, and that's where Saul got saved. Now Saul was an enemy of the church, was he not? He had been going down and catching Christians and hauling them off in prison and persecuting them. And he had official letters to do all these things. But the Lord Jesus appeared to Saul. And he got saved on the road to Damascus. Do you remember that? And he saw a bright light and it blinded him. And the men led him back to a house and there he sat. Couldn't see his hand in front of his face. And there's a good old Christian brother over there. His name was Ananias. And the Lord spoke to Ananias. And he said, "Ananias, there's a man got saved. His name's Saul. And he's seen a vision of a man, of you, going in and laying your hands on him that he might receive his sight." And Ananias said to the Lord, "Yes, sir, Lord, I'd be glad to do that. But I've heard about this fella." He knew who Saul was. Saul, he told the Lord, "Saul has letters of authority to arrest us Christians, and he's really been giving us a hard time." And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but the Lord said, "You go on down there, and you do what I told you to do." And I was reading again over there in Acts chapter number 9. Do you know the first words that Ananias said to Saul? He didn't say, "All right, Saul, you sorry buzzard. You've been giving us a hard time. I heard you got saved. I don't believe it. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't." But Ananias went in, and the Bible says that Ananias said, "Brother Saul." Here, this man that had been arch enemy number one to the children of God, what's different now? He got saved. And now a man who was an enemy, now he's my brother. Brother Saul. And he laid his hands on him and he received his sight. I like when little kids get saved. My brother's was my nephew. And we went to a wedding a couple of Saturdays ago and they was telling me that he got saved. His dad, you know how it is. His dad said, "Go ahead, Lucas, tell him what happened." And I figured what it was, if somebody wants to tell the preacher what happens, What's happened? That's usually what it is. And so he told me, he said, I got saved. He told me a little bit about it, and he told me about how the Lord had spoke to his heart and everything, and it just is great. And I held out my hand. I said, you know what? I said, you're my brother now. You're my brother, and me and you are brothers. We're brothers in the Lord. When we're saved by the grace of God, sometimes Dad and I'll kid with each other, and he calls me brother son, and I call him brother dad. Because it's a brotherly life. I thought about that. Do you know, I have brothers all over the world. I feel like that if you took me anywhere in the world and dropped me off and I didn't know a soul, if I could find somebody that knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and believed that book with all of their heart, I believe I could find some help. I believe I could find a friend. And I got a lot of friends through the military, through missionaries that have come through. Do you remember, this has been years ago, Brother Dwayne Whittemore's son-in-law, Brother Roy Valles. He is a Mexican. He married one of Brother Dwayne's daughters, and they served the Lord as missionaries together down in Mexico. And he came one time to this church and preached on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night. Roy Valles. Met him one time in my life. Do you know how many times over the years that he sent me a text message on Sunday morning and said, brother, I'm praying for you today. That's a brother. I'm thinking about you. I'm praying. Only came one time. We don't even support him. But I feel like if I needed some help, I got a brother a long ways away that would do anything they could to help me. That's one example. If you are in the family of God, Brother Honeycutt has said this many times, he said, you'll find that God's circle of people is actually pretty small. And you can go somewhere, you can go on the other end of the country, and if you meet with God's people, you can probably find somebody that knows somebody that's been somewhere that you'll find you've got a family. It's a banded family, but it's a brotherly family. Now I want to bring out some things this morning, just a few minutes, and I'll be done. I got to thinking about brothers. What's it mean, a brotherly family? Now, I'm sure the Issachar and Benjamin's family was not perfect, but they were brothers. And let me tell you some things this morning that brothers do for one another, do with one another. Number one today, brothers, they fight for one another. Brothers fight for one another. That's what it says in verse 5. And their brethren among all the families of Issachar were valiant men of might. Did you notice what that said? And their brethren among all the families of Issachar were valiant men of might. If you look down in verse number 11, it says, all these sons of Jediel by the heads of their fathers, mighty men of valor, were 17,200 soldiers fit to go out for war and battle. These brethren would fight for one another. I would say if you lived in the sons of Issachar's time and you attended the Shalom Valley High School and you went down there and you begin to pick on one of Issachar's grandsons, I'd say you'd find yourself hanging by your girdle from the flagpole by the end of the day. You guess them fellas took up for one another. I'd say they did. But they were trained. It was ingrained in them to fight for one another. And that's what they did. They fought together and they fought for one another and they fought with one another. In Judges chapter number 20, I was reading over there and remembered over there that the tribe of Benjamin one time, they almost fought themselves to extinction with the other tribes over something that just a few of them had been involved in. Judges chapter number 20. That they say that blood's thicker than water. You find that in the Bible. The sons of Benjamin, they fought together. The sons of Issachar, they fought one with another. It's the same thing in our families. I have one brother. I have a younger brother. I can pick on my brother. I can fight with him. I can call him everything under the book and everything, picking on. I'm not talking about making him mad or being mad at one another, but he's my brother. And when I was growing up, we fought all the time. But that doesn't mean you can fight with him, because he's my brother. Does anybody else feel that way about there? No, that's my brother. We got a family reunion here. Y'all ought to be saying amen. That's your brother. You're not going to let somebody else pick on your brother, fight on your brother. It's the same thing among God's people. We ought to be willing to fight one for another. In Nehemiah chapter number 3, when they built the walls back around Jerusalem, verse number 1, and you remember how they had to build the walls. They had to build with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. But it says when they built those walls, verse number 1, then Eliashib rose up with his brethren. And they built with their brethren, and they stood guard with their brethren, and had need been, they would have fought with their brethren. It's a brotherly life. I do not fault Peter for pulling out a sword and trying to cut that guy's head off. You know, when they came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what Peter did, the Lord didn't rebuke Peter over that. He just said, put up your sword, now's not the time. But you can't fault Peter for trying to defend the Lord. You can't fault Peter for trying to do everything within his power to try to protect his brethren and the Lord and the disciples and all of them together. He was willing, at least Peter was willing to put his life on the line. That's what brothers do. They fight for one another. And let me say this morning, if we won't fight for one another, there's not much to us. If I won't defend my family, I'm not much of a man. But here's how it is, sadly, many times among God's people. If something comes up and somebody really needs some help, instead of going to their side, we'll stand with the world and accuse. Say, well, I wondered about him. If we won't fight for each other, we're not very good soldiers. Because that's what soldiers need each other for. They need each other to go into battle, and we're in a battle, and that's a message altogether different, but they fight for each other. Number 2, I quickly move on this morning. Here's what soldiers do. They fuss with each other. Now, I hate to say it, but I'm just preaching honest this morning. If you went, and not even all the time against each other, but if you walked into any barracks, if you walked onto any military installation in the United States of America, and you could sort of be a fly on the wall and see how they get along together, what you'd hear a lot of fussing. You'd hear a lot of griping about things. Because that's how they are. When I was in the country of England, I mean, I heard them gripe for 3 years. We don't like it over here. It's too cold. It's not America. There's only 3 television channels. It's too hard to have a telephone. I mean, they gripe the whole time. They gripe about the commander. They gripe about the work. It doesn't matter. They gripe about it and fuss about it. They gripe about the world. They gripe about the work. Sort of like your families. Anybody, you know you fuss more at your house when all the doors are closed and nobody's listening. You fuss about stuff. You fuss about each other. You fuss about, now here's one of the main things at my house. Who put this dish here and didn't wash it? It was Abigail. And I'll go to Kim sometimes. I'll say, just, or she'll come to me, and we'll say, just let me vent. Just let me fuss just a minute. Just let me gripe just a minute. And I promise if you'll just let me get it off my chest, I won't mention it again. Why do we do that? Because we're family and because we're comfortable with each other. And you will talk different to your brothers and sisters in Christ than you will down at the job. You wouldn't go down at the job and just begin to talk about the state of the world. You wouldn't begin to gripe about the politicians. You wouldn't begin to talk about the low morality just among anybody. But if you meet one of your brothers in Christ, you might say, well, it's bad, isn't it? Did you see the news? Did you see on TV? Did you see what so-and-so said? And so why are you able to do that? Because we're brethren. Brethren. We have so much in common that you know you can talk to somebody and they're not going to get offended about what you're talking about. But that's how soldiers are. But when it comes time to go to battle, they're able to put all that stuff behind them and go to battle. And say, this is my brother, and I'll give my life for my brother. Jesus said in John 13:15, he said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, for his brother. They do fuss with one another, but it's because they're family. And I'll quickly say this, and I'll be done. And if you think the disciples were perfect, you're wrong. Mark chapter number 9, they'd been to the greatest revival service that's ever taken place. They went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and the Lord Jesus was transfigured before them. Well, you talk about shouting on the mountaintop. They should have been. But do you know, before they got down, they were disputing among themselves about who should be the greatest. And the Lord Jesus asked them, he said, why were you disputing among yourselves along the way? They weren't perfect. They fussed. But I'll say this and I'll be done this morning. Brothers, they forgive. They forgive. The Bible said in Psalms 133 and verse number 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I think one of the saddest things in the whole wide world is when a family begins to fuss and fight and they say, well, I'm not speaking to them anymore. That's number one. Number two is when that happens in a church. People that are supposed to be saved by the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us and they can't forgive one another. You're a bad soldier. If you can't forgive, if you can't go to battle together, if we can't worship together, we're not good soldiers. I've been preaching on being a good soldier. A good soldier can get over all that petty stuff and realize that there's a much bigger picture that's going on and get along for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about being a good soldier. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so the soldier's life is a social life. There's nothing like it in the world. I am thankful to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not the Kiwanis. This is not the Cub Scouts. This is not something that, you know, with this good hobby. This is something our lives ought to be centered around. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.